this prissy manager chick who kept coming up to me. You need to meet this way. Blah, 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 blah.
She's still out there, Swain. I'm like, shut up. Quit telling me.
Who's still out there?
The girl that they fired.
Fired person.
Oh, I just started recording, so I wanted you to say that. So you had to fire somebody at your job?
Oh, not me. I've never fired, nor have I ever been fired.
Hmm.
Something I've stayed away from my entire life.
Steph, I've been meaning to tell you something for a few years now on the podcast.
What is it?
We're going to have to go ahead and let you go. I'm very sorry.
Hey, man, this is all I've been waiting for. I just needed somebody to kick me in the ass. Now I can go live my dreams.
Write that novel.
That's right.
Yeah, write that novel.
That's what's been happening this whole time. But the girl that they fired, well, not girl, she was a woman. And she was, you know, she was a middle-aged woman who obviously has a hard time keeping a job. She's very odd. I think she was kicked in the head by a mule or something when she was a child. It's like she
why'd they fire her?
She just couldn't get it. You know, we're a very fast office, and I talked my boss out of firing her a month ago because I was like, she's here every day. She's on time. I think her husband beats her. I'm not sure, but I get that impression. And she was like, oh, my God. So she said, all right, fair enough. We'll give her some more time. And then it just wasn't going to work. It wasn't going to work. So she fired her on Friday and she just cried. And then she sat out in her car and cried. And then my coworker kept looking through the window and she kept saying, Swain, she's still out here crying. And I'm like, quit looking. Quit telling me about it. Good God. It was tough.
It's always tough when somebody, did you like this person?
I mean, I did not like her. It wasn't more like I liked her. It was more like I felt sorry for her. She seems like a very... I can't even tell you. Like, there's something wrong. The elevator's not going all the way to the top. And see somebody her age just struggling to keep. And this is like one of our lower level positions. Mm-hmm. She's just struggling to hang on doing a job that we have 20-year-olds that walk in the door and they can do it in 5 seconds. So I was sad for her.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is a sad thing. You know, I've been in the business of radio for 20 years now. And, I've seen people get fired. A lot of people get fired. I've fired people and I've been fired. So it's an interesting dynamic in that business because you never know what's going to happen and you're always walking on eggshells. But what is your industry? Is it the healthcare industry?
Yeah, healthcare.
How much turnover and how often does something like that happen?
Well, it didn't used to happen very often at all. In the past 4 months, it happens about once a week. Oof. Somebody gets fired or somebody quits. Which is, you know, from what I can tell by the myriad of restaurants and things like that, that they can't staff right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of indicative of our lower paying jobs.
Right.
Now, I've been there a long time. I do something more complicated. I get paid more. Those jobs, those haven't turned over.
Right.
But most of our, like, you know, starter positions, we would hang on to those people for a while and they'd get put up into something else. We're not hanging on to them.
Mm-hmm.
Either they suck and they get fired or they pull some shit and they get fired or they just quit. It's one of the three. So it happens all the time. And I could care less. I mean, I don't even get to know people's names most of the time. Unless I see them for about 6 months straight, then I'll actually learn who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And plus everybody's in masks now. I'll see the same people. If I saw them in the street, I'd never even know I worked with them.
Because right. They had a mask. You know, people look like anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to end anytime soon, I don't think. Keep wearing the masks. Well, if I go back, my first restaurant manager job where I actually had to, you know, I was in charge of hiring and firing people, was at Bob Evans Restaurant. I worked at two of them. I worked at one in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, and one in Carlisle, PA. And that's the one I left when I moved down to Atlanta and then worked for Fuddruckers for a couple of months. But I was in charge of hiring and firing daytime staff and, you know, nighttime staff. And I hired a lot of people, and it was cool to me that a lot of the people I had hired You know, I would stop at that restaurant when I would go to Pennsylvania to visit my family. And for about 10, 12 years, some of those people were still there. And that kind of amazed me. Now, the Carlisle store where I worked, everybody got fired because I just read online one of our listeners, Eric Malmstrom, tried to go there to eat right off of the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and it's closed. So I guess, you know, the pandemic hit Bob Evans pretty hard. You know, the sausage factory.
I blame you and your poor management skills.
Well, yeah, that you could do that. But, you know, you would be wrong because I was a good restaurant manager. I ordered the right produce and I ordered the right amount of sausage. And I was always good with food costs and calculating all that shit. I was also good at chain smoking. What? No. Yeah, I was good at chain smoking in the office because you could smoke and you would see the ashtray at the end of the night and it would just be overflowing with cigarette butts. In fact, they liked me. My employees liked me at the Chambersburg store. I had to work the day they read the O.J. Simpson verdict. So I brought a TV in and I put it in the break room and I just like let the customers just fend for themselves. I said, you ever want to watch it? You're not busy. Go back and watch it. And I heard it was great because you could hear all these people clapping and yelling like, yeah, like the cooks and stuff were all happy. And this one waitress, this old, she wasn't old, but she was like in her 40s then, which was old to me in the early 90s or mid 90s. She's this old white lady. She's kind of a redneck. She walks, I knew they were going to lay him off. Well, hey, what are you going to do? What do you care? So anyway, I had to fire people all the time and it sucked because, you know, you fire a 20-year-old waitress because she's not very good at showing up to work and she cries. And then, you know, she's kind of good looking and you're like, oh, I feel bad. But hey, if you want to hang out later and talk about it, that never worked for me. Never worked for me. I wasn't good. I'm not suave like that. And then I moved to Atlanta. And that was, I think, the first time I experienced being fired, actually being fired. I was working at Fuddruckers and my mom passed away. And I said, I can't do this anymore. I came down here to find a job in radio and I got a part time job in radio. And I said, well, I need a full time job to supplement this. And I got a job with restaurant recruiters. Now, if you've never worked in the restaurant industry at a chain, and I'm sure a lot of people out there have and have been managers, even retail, they used to have people who would just call you at work. Like, you know, like you get the scam calls on your phone, but these people go, can I speak to the manager, please? And then you get the manager on the phone and you say, I'm calling from such and such recruiting service for restaurant managers. And you just have this list that they give you. So the job was you go there at 8 o'clock in the morning and then you start calling at 9 and you stop at noon and you get a half hour lunch. And then you call from 12:30 until you go home at 6. This is it. You just call all day and schedule appointments for these people. And my first day, I was kind of nervous and I wasn't really reading the script and this prissy manager chick who kept coming up to me. You need to meet this way, blah, 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 blah. So eventually I got around to somebody that they had dicked over and the guy just starts screaming at me. You motherfuckers called me a month ago, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh God, this is not for me. This job isn't for me. And at noon, the lady who ran the place met me in the little cafe and she said, I don't think it's working out. You're not aggressive enough. I'm like, all right, yeah, I don't like this either. Fuck you, bitch. And I left.
You're not aggressive enough.
Well, I wasn't. You know, I wasn't. I felt the way that when I would get those calls when I was working, I'd be pissed at these companies. Like, I'm trying to work. We're trying to get shit going. You know, here's my number. Call me later. But. And you're interrupting people who are trying to work. And then this guy that had been promised all this stuff, he starts screaming at me. I'm like, I have nothing to do with this, you ass. So anyway, it was a blessing in disguise. I came home from work. I went out and bought all these nice clothes to wear to this place. And I came home at like 1 o'clock and my roommates in Atlanta that I, you know, moved in with it. Like, oh yeah, that didn't last. Say, nope, let's get some beer.
No, I like it better when people quit.
Yeah.
When they get fired. Like if it's a good quit.
I've had good quits and bad quits. I've no called, no showed quite a bit. In fact, I no called, no showed a job in 2016.
Mm.
Yeah. Old enough to know better and to not do that. You know, I figured they could find someone else to wash the dishes that night.
And then you got fired that time. You lost the mop.
What?
When you were doing that jizz mopping job.
Well, I didn't really lose it. I put it in my trunk to take home and sniff it. Yeah.
We had a girl who quit a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, the most epic quit. It was so funny. She got picked on, I guess, a fair amount in the area that she worked at. And she finally just got sick of it. And she was, I got along with her just fine. She came by my office and she opened the door. She said, "Just want to let you know, I'm quitting. So good luck to you." And she walks away. Well, the manager, she said, "Where is so-and-so?" And they're like, "She just left. She just said I quit and she just walked out." So she's asked one of the other girls, "Well, go down there. Can you go downstairs and ask her what the hell's going on?" Because she was on the phone. So the girl goes downstairs, and as she's approaching her, the woman who quit is in her car. She says, "Get away from me. I don't work here anymore. I don't have to talk to you."
Nice.
Well, oh God, that made me cry. I laughed so hard, I'd like to kill me. And the lady that she said it to is one of the nicest women in the world. I mean, she's the nicest lady. And the fact that she said it to her made it even funnier.
When I got hired at 96 Rock, part of my job was to hire promotion staff and fire them. And I fired quite a few. And that was always a pain for me to do because I'd become friends with these kids that I was hiring. You know what I mean? Because you're around them all the time. And so, you know, like you get sad, right? You get sad, you know, I got to let this guy go because the other bosses don't like them or they don't fit the mold or whatever. But the two that come to there was one kid named Paul, and, you know, now he's a real successful, like money guy or whatever. But back then he was just a promotions kid. And he drove our van. You know, the vans back then had the it was called a Marty pole on top, and you would take it out and then you would have to turn it on and it would go up. It's a big antenna. Well, he forgot to put the antenna down and tried to park the van inside of a garage and the antenna broke off. And he was a good worker and he was fun to be around and he was funny. And plus he was a Giants fan. So you remember Paul, don't you, Jeff? Paul, we called him Paul Soprano. That wasn't his real name. But I didn't want to fire him. So I did my best to tell my boss, whose name was Jim. I said, "Look, let's whatever." I go, "Come out to an event and watch him work." And then, you know, because, you know, accidents happen. So he said, all right. We go to an event and he watches Paul work. Paul busts his ass. And I kind of gave Paul a heads up. I said, "You know, you gotta, you know, they're going to be watching you." So at the end of that night, Jim, my boss, comes up to me and we start quoting, you know, the part in Goodfellas when they're initially going to whack Maury.
Oh, right.
They really want to kill him. And De Niro's character really wants to kill him. And then later on in the night, he's like, "No, we won't kill him. No. So that was what we did. We weren't going to fire Paul. It was a lot of fun back then. Radio in promotions in the early 2000s. So it was like 2000 to 2003 was just so much fun. Lots of swag, lots of giveaways, lots of drinking, lots of parties, Music Midtown, all that stuff. But that all, you know, went away. But I did have to fire people. And it always looked, you know, "You're not doing a good job." I wasn't good at it. I'm just like, I just wanted to say, "You're fired. Now get the fuck out."
I can't picture you firing anybody.
I'm not good at it. I was not good at it. I did not like doing it. I had to fire people at Dave FM when I worked there. I didn't like doing that either. Even if I didn't like the person, I just felt uncomfortable doing it.
Did you ever have anybody say, "Oh, well, fuck you then"?
Yeah. People tell me to fuck off, you know, but I haven't had to fire anybody. I haven't been in a managerial position in a long time. So when have I been fired? I got fired from that, you know, shitty telemarketing job or whatever it was. I got fired from 96 Rock twice.
You got fired for not being too cool one time, right? At a restaurant.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was the last time I got fired. I looked too old. I didn't. Yeah. What did I call her? Ichabod Jane. Yeah, the Ichabod Jane did not like me.
Still feel like you should have filed a lawsuit. You should have filed some sort of...
I could have filed...
age discrimination lawsuit.
Right. But they're out of business now, so... Yeah. Well, they're not out of business. They're just not in that location. But I got fired... where did I get fired? I got fired from Dave FM, but they gave me 60 days. They wrote this weird thing to keep them from having to pay... what you call
unemployment?
Unemployment, yeah. And I signed it. I should have just said, "No, I ain't signing that. Give me the bennies, bitch. Give me them stimmies, like the kids today who don't want to work." I got fired from 96 Rock in 2005, I believe it was, or 2006. I got fired a bunch in the aughts. That's when I got fired the most. And yeah, it sucked. But I haven't been fired in a long time. Fingers crossed. You know, the last time I got fired was 2015. I got fired from Rock 100.5. Now that
come on,
that he didn't fire me. The guy who fired me, He's a guy. I've talked about him on the Von Esler Doctrine. He's one of those, you know, corporate radio guys, you know. Yeah, I did a little stand up. I got a food truck business. I've done some comedy. Yeah. Okay, whatever. You're a radio programmer guy. You don't do anything creative. Well, you know, I got the numbers up in Detroit. Okay, great. Good for you. Yeah, you fail upward. But, you know, I'm talking bad about the guy, but yeah, you know, we're going to take away the producer job from you. And this is the move. And you can see this if you're watching the YouTube. He did that thing where he goes, Seabass put his hand up, and he puts his hand up, and he's like reading me this whole thing. Like, you know, we've been running ads for the producer job, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, why don't you just give it to Seabass in the first place? He's the most logical person to do this job. And you just guys have just wasted 2 months. And then a couple months after that, even Seabass left. And then I was fired because I was a pill and an ass. But I did it on purpose so I could go join Eric, and everybody lives happily ever after. Speaking of Seabass, you guys ever watch his YouTube channel?
No.
He has a YouTube channel, and it's extremely popular. It's called Cartnarks. So he goes all over the country.
I have started
this in L.A., but he goes all over the country, and he has this, you know, this little orange wand, and he wears like a vest. And he follows people around who don't put their carts back at, you know, grocery stores. And he goes, whip, 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 whip. He waves around, whoop, whoop, whoop. Oh, he didn't put it back. And even if you don't know him, these are funny videos to watch.
Oh, I'm going to watch that for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, Cartnarks.
And the list test of decency in this country is whether or not you put your cart back.
Yes, yes. And he has these little magnets that say, I didn't put my cart back. And he throws them on the car. And people get out and confront him. And this is the thing. I could never do that. I could never be around confrontational people because it frightened me. I was afraid. Well, I'm not going to, you know, he was the master at that. I never saw anybody in radio do it the way he did it. And he was not afraid. I mean, you guys, if you listen to the show back when we were on the air, there was some weird stuff that he almost got beat up by Grateful Dead fans, not the ones that go into the show, but the dirtbags who sell drugs and bring their dogs with them. You know, like after the show, the guy's got the hippie crack and he's got, you know, those are the people he was interviewing. I thought they were going to kill him. But, you know, these people get out of their cars and they're screaming, I'm calling the police. Fuck you. God damn it. Blah, blah, you better not touch my car. And he's just, no, it's okay, sir. Whoop, 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 whoop. So check it out if you want to watch fun.
I will do that. I used to always be afraid that he was going to be murdered.
Yeah. Well, he definitely has some balls on him. I want to reach out and ask him to come on and talk about it. But I don't know. I probably burned that bridge as well.
Oh, did you? What'd you do?
Not really. He just had to witness all my bizarre behavior.
He worked there too. He knew it sucked.
Yeah, but he didn't lose his mind like I did. I mean, I really was just like, I'm insane.
So are you like eating your own shit and stuff in the break room?
No, I would do that today if it got me. No. No, I was just, just full of anxiety and rage, and I would take it out on people that didn't deserve it. So, you know, but everything's better now. And I don't, even if I were to get angry now at work, which is something that probably wouldn't happen, I would just be like, oh, okay, I'll just go home and not throw a fit and act like a douchebag. So
you just stay Bill Bixby. You don't turn.
Uh-huh.
I said, you just stay Bill Bixby. You don't turn.
Yeah, I just get the green eyes. We should have, you know, I should have posted this on social media because this is a fun topic. So maybe we can revisit it later. So if you're out there listening, comment here in the YouTube page or post on Facebook some of your tales of having, if you've had uncomfortable times firing people or if you've been fired, and if you've got a funny story, we'll read them on the show next time because, you know, everybody's gone through that unless, you know, you're just awesome.
Yeah.
I got hired here at Walmart in 1992, and I said, by God, I'm leaving Walmart when I'm ready to retire. So I finally made it into overnight janitorial work, and that suits me. But it would suit certain people. It would certain, you know, work overnight. Can't beat that. In popular culture, I found an article. Of course, everybody our age who grew up in the 80s watching Cheers remembers the episode, The Executive's Executioner. Where they had Norm go out and they found out that Norm had a knack for firing people and he didn't want to do it, but he ended up doing it because he would cry and he'd always. How did that work, Jeff? Do you remember?
He created that character of Anton so Anton could be the one that fired people.
Okay, it wouldn't be Norm. He created a different. Yeah. Yeah. And he would just cry, right? And the other people would end up feeling bad for him, the people that he was firing.
Right.
So he started doing it in the bar, too. Yeah, that was the thing. He started bringing them to the bar and doing it at a table. Yeah. And they were all like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then he had to try and prove that he wasn't really Anton. And he walked into the bar and he was like expecting everybody to go, Norm! And everybody went, Anton!
So there's a lot of great scenes in movies and TV shows of people getting fired. And I found an article. You guys found one. I found one. This is from therichest.com, their entertainment section. It's a website. This came out in October of 2016. And they have the top 15 most epic films about getting fired. Of course, number 15 coming in is the Laugh Riot comedy Philadelphia, starring Tom Hanks and Denzel Washington. God, that was one of the best comedies. I don't know why it's there. Number 14, Mr. Mom, which we've talked about on the show with Michael Keaton and Terry Garr. He gets fired. She becomes the breadwinner. And it's a fun little film. Little fun film.
And I like his reaction when he gets fired.
Mm-hmm.
He has a fit.
Well, he was perfect for that role because of his face in the way he would, you know, his body language. He was a good physical comedy actor back then.
You never had a fit? Any of the times you got fired, you never had a fit?
No, I never. I had fits when I've had fits at work, but I never got fired.
Oh, okay.
I never threw a fit after I got fired. When I got, let's see. When I got fired from, hey, Izzy. Izzy's joining the podcast right now. When I got fired from 96 Rock in 2006, I was really upset because I didn't have any other prospects going. But, like we said, we all land on our feet, you know.
Is that kind of a different situation too when you're getting fired as a group?
Well,
or is it an individual situation? Because I know that one time where everybody, you know, was fired.
The regular guy's show got fired in 2004. And what that meant was, I believe at the time, Larry and Eric got fired. Now, I don't know that Steve got fired in 2004. I don't remember, believe it or not. I don't remember. But I think maybe Steve was safe. Steve and the producer were both safe. That's when they played the backwards audio. I wasn't fired then because I was the promotions director. But what happened to me was I was disheartened by that. And I didn't like what they had brought in, which the solution was to put Bob and Tom on. Bob and Tom are good at what they do, but you can't put a syndicated show on a rock station, a heritage rock station like 96 Rock in this market and have it work. It never has. And it never will. Maybe now, but it's not the same. But back then you had to have local show. You know, Chris Rude was successful for years and years and years. They took him off. I think they put Bubba the Love Sponge on for a little while. That didn't work. And then they put, Larry and Eric on, and that worked, but it took time. It took time for that show to become number one. But by 2004, nothing could stop them except for having, dirty words on the air. And you couldn't just apologize because it was right after the Janet Jackson thing. And so the CEO of Clear Channel at the time went in front of Congress and fell on his knees and blew everybody. I mean, you look back at 2004 and that, you know, you see a little titty, a little nipple titty on the Super Bowl, and then this overreaction, and Howard Stern gets fined and he leaves, and compare it to now when there's just tits and ass everywhere. You know what I mean? And
And people are getting canceled for the most inane shit.
Yeah. But that is like a Puritan reaction. And it was in the 2000s, you know, like George Bush going, we need moral bullshit in this country. Fuck you. None of you are moral. We're bombing the shit out of every country in the Middle East, but we can't have a little brown titty on the news. Yeah. The fuck out of here. I mean, that still pisses me off when I think about what happened there. But anyway, I was disheartened. I didn't like it. I thought it was stupid. So, and then, you know, they brought in new people, and they bring in new people. They don't want you. And so they wanted me to go work in Raleigh, and I didn't want to move to Raleigh. So I just got a job in sales and milked that until I got the job at Dave FM. All right. Number 13, Burn After Reading, which is a fantastic movie. If you've never seen it, I highly recommend it.
Brad Pitt's best finale role I've ever seen.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going? No spoilers if you've never seen it, but you have, it is a Coen Brothers movie with John Malkovich, Frances McDormand, Brad Pitt, George Clooney, J.K. Simmons. It's about CIA. It's just a crazy tale. It's a lot of fun. It does have some people getting fired in it. Fight Club is good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ed Norton is in that. Edward Norton, not Ed Norton. Edward Norton. Anchorman, that has a good firing scene.
Oh, yeah, that one is good.
I'm going to have to fire you.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to fire you.
Now, here's a movie I've never seen, but speaking of George Clooney, but a lot of people say it's good. Up in the Air. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
So he's basically doing that Norm thing from Cheers where he's a person who's hired to, he's a professional firer, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Professional, yeah, executive executioner is what they call him.
So what it was his job in that film, and do you think I would like it?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah?
I think you'd like the movie. I don't think you'd like his job.
No, I
don't like it. He just goes around, like, different corporate offices and fires everybody. Like, they like in Office Space, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, when they're picking those bobs.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a Farmiga.
Everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Love interest.
That should be the number one on this list. I haven't looked it over. I'm skipping over a couple. Number seven would be American Beauty. That's a great movie when he negotiates his, when Kevin Spacey negotiates his
severance package.
Severance. Yeah. He's just
laying. That was very similar to the Fight Club.
Yeah.
Without the physicality, but yeah.
Exactly. But then he's bored, so he takes the job at the fast food restaurant, and he sees his wife with the real estate king, and embarrasses her. And
little senior eyebrows.
Yeah. That's a great movie. I love it. That movie. Alan Ball, I believe, is from Marietta, the guy who wrote it.
It's like when the rose petals fall off of what's her face's boobs. It still looks like there's rose petals there.
Yeah, I think I seem to remember one of the panelists on this show really enjoying that movie for a couple of different reasons. Hmm. Right, Dustin?
That was a great movie. I love the trash bag.
Yeah.
The floating trash bag just that does it for me.
Yeah.
I can't make it through Midtown Atlanta without, you know, pulling over a couple times.
Looking at the beauty.
Yeah. It's just all the beauty and all the beauty on under I-85. Yeah.
Oh, God. One of the most depressing movies ever made, Leaving Las Vegas. Nicolas Cage gets fired and he goes to drink himself to death with Elizabeth Shue. And it's a pretty sad film. Mm-hmm. I took a waitress from Bob Evans to see it. I don't think she was expecting it. I felt like Travis Bickle taking my date to the porn movie.
These are great movies. I see couples in these movies all the time.
Yeah. I think the scene when she's in the shower and the blood's running out of her butt. I mean, that's just.
That was the funniest scene. I was the only person in the theater who laughed at that.
Laugh at that.
Mm-hmm. It was so funny. Skipping ahead. Speaking of people who freak out when they get fired, Falling Down with Michael Douglas. He definitely took it poorly.
Oh man, did he ever.
Yeah. And that movie, I believe that was the first movie about an incel. We didn't even know what incels were back then. But it really was the angry white guy narrative film, Vietnam vet or whatever he was, and he just snaps and goes nuts.
Yeah. It was pre, you know, any of that being in the media, or at least being, you know, it's kind of scary that it may have been the catalyst for a few.
Yeah. It could have been. I mean, something like that happens before it, you know, we used to say, oh, somebody went postal because I guess it was the 80s, early 90s or whatever, there was this weird phenomenon of postal workers going into their office and shooting everybody. And that's where that comes from. They went postal. Mm-hmm. And boy, did Michael Douglas go postal in that movie.
What year did that movie come out?
Falling Down. I want to say
94.
94 and 93.
Because it was just like 2 years ago that McDonald's started serving breakfast all day. Yeah. You'd think they would have gone immediately after that movie and started serving breakfast all day.
Right. You think they would have got the message. 1993. Damn. That's a long fucking time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it took them 10 years after that movie to finally start serving breakfast all day.
20 years. 20. 20
years. Yeah, 20 years.
Yeah. Number two is Jerry Maguire. Did he get fired and started his own thing?
Show me the money thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, his was the, well, that one was the ever so popular, which, and I'll go ahead and throw my two cents in. I've had to fire a couple, you know, a few people over the years, especially when I worked at a disaster restoration company. So mm-hmm. we had a lot of turnover, a lot of people coming in, you know, wearing, you know, suiting up to do mold remediation. So you had to wear PPE suits for, you know, in for 20 minutes to work, mm-hmm. have to be out of the suit for 20 minutes, back in. I mean, it was very, you know, taxing. So you'd have people all the time that would just quit. And there was one guy that wouldn't quit, but he had to be gone. So when it came to fire him, he pulled the Jerry Maguire. He was the, okay, everybody, who's with me? And nobody was with him. He just turned around and walked out. And I was like, great. Great. Good job, buddy.
Oh, that's got to be embarrassing. Who's with me?
Oh. And you're talking to people who are just, you know, sweat pouring off of them. They're miserable. They don't want to be there, but they're, you know, they're not going to quit.
Is it good money?
It was good money for the time. And yeah, So, yeah. I mean, especially in like disaster restoration work for stuff like that. I mean, it's usually in areas that have been impacted by, like, you know, we did a lot of tornado cleanup, Katrina cleanup, you know, for months at a time. So you'd have laborers shipped in from Chicago on buses down to New Orleans, you know, just to work. And it's like, you know, it's a package event. It's not like you're just going to, you know, catch a taxi and ride home. And so, yeah. But yeah, it was a lot of people don't know what they're getting into when they get into stuff like that. And so, yeah, it was a turnover rate for things like that. And even the job I have now, I mean, our turnover rate is ridiculous. We'll hire 15 and after a month we'll have 2.
Damn.
And so, yeah, I mean, and especially with the way it is right now, I mean, you know, it's, we've got a couple of managers that, you know, their jobs are now, one does, you know, calls for interviews and the other one does interviews. And that's all they do, just to have us enough workers to cover our shifts. And, you know, we don't have half of our staff of last year.
You got to wonder why for the last year and however many months, businesses have been shuttering all over the country and there's shortages of things and there aren't truck drivers and there aren't this and that, and restaurants can't stay staffed or stay open. And you got to wonder why is that happening? You know, some people say, well, it's because the government's giving out money, blah, 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 blah. But there's got to be an answer to that question. There has to be.
To me, it's, I mean, from what you read on social media and, you know, for the people that are not taking these jobs,
yeah,
you know, their stance is, hey, we found a point where, you know, now everybody wants these low income workers to come back and take these jobs that are, you know, half minimum wage. They're, you know, half below a living wage in this country.
Right.
And so, you know, they don't want these jobs in filling these positions back up just to start the whole scenario over again. They want, you know, change. They want to upgrade. They want more money so that they can actually live. And they understand. I mean, I understand you're not going to make a living and start a career working in a Taco Bell.
No.
But at the same time, you know, it should at least be modernized from 1986 or 87 from where it's at right now. I mean, you know, it's weird. You know, people making minimum wage now, I was making the same minimum wage 25 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so I understand that point. And that's why a lot of young people, you know, they're, you know, these are the people who are the cancel culture, the people that on social media think they can make and can make a change if they've seen it happen. So now they're trying to apply that same mindset to, you know, the workforce and where we're at right now. Not that they're trying to, I think, take advantage so much of the stimulus stuff as opposed to, hey, there's a point where there's a giant reset and, you know, maybe I can make a change. And maybe we can hold out for more.
And you can't take advantage of the stimulus stuff unless you've lost your job because of COVID. We've had several people who quit and then applied for unemployment and said that they lost the job because of COVID. And my boss has to fight it.
Yeah.
And say, no, it had nothing to do with COVID, because you only get those extra benefits or whatever if you've lost your job due to COVID.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think with the amount of money that people make, and I'm going to say this about corporations, like, let's just use sneaker company X, Nike, who makes all their sneakers in Southeast Asia and wherever over there across the sea, across the Pacific Ocean. And they pay their workers next to nothing to make these shoes. Right. And then you have people in this country who pay upwards of $500 for a pair of those fucking shoes. And you know who makes money, who makes out on that, is the company and the stockholders. And it didn't used to be, you know, that everything was stockholders. You know, WWE wasn't publicly traded company and all these, you know what I mean? So the stock, people who own stocks and 401k, they still do well. And if you own a bunch of Amazon stock, you're doing well. But if you work at Amazon, you're not doing so well because you're making whatever they pay you. My point being,
Steph's boxes.
What? Oh yeah, pissing in Steph's boxes.
But Amazon, you make $15 an hour to start.
Well, I know, but my point being into what Dustin was kind of saying is, for all these years, I think since the early Clinton administration, or maybe even a little bit before that, everything's gone toward corporates, corporate, invest in the corporation and buy stocks and buy It just keeps going. But wages haven't kept up with that because they don't have to pay Americans to do jobs. And then, you know, so they can afford to pay it. Like they could put a factory, a Nike factory in Mississippi and pay people $15 an hour to stitch sneakers and not lose any money, their stocks would go down. And that would be the problem. So I really don't know. I'm not an economist. But I'm just saying that, you know, if you were to bring jobs back here and pay people, then they collect the money and pay taxes. And then they go out and shop and buy stuff. And then other people make money. And that's how it works. But you know, with the global economy and free trade instead of fair trade, it fucked everybody. So here we are. Talking about doing a podcast and talking about epic scenes of people being fired.
I will say this, you know, there was a time I should have been fired.
Oh, yeah.
When my boss infuriated me, my old boss, the one I hated more than anything. I used to have these fantasies about pouring gas all over and just setting her on fire and laughing and laughing while she burned. I mean, just graphic, murderous images I would have of her. And this one time they gave us this really janky bonus at Christmas. It was just some bullshit. And then she had the nerve to come around and try to make us feel bad about it. Like, oh, you just don't even know what we had to scrape and da 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 da. And I went to the bank to make our daily deposit. And on the way back, I was listening to Pantera. I was getting very amped up. And it just like, ugh. And then I wrote out a check for the amount of the bullshit bonus they gave me. I think it was like $75. I don't know. And I just stormed into her office and I threw it on her desk. I said, here's your money back. And I said, I wish I wouldn't have bought you a Christmas present and everybody hates you. And I walked out.
And you quit?
No.
Oh.
Went back to work. But then the assistant manager, she said, I need to talk to you. And I said, am I fired? She goes, well, I just don't know. I think you might be.
Well, I just don't know.
I was like, shit. And so I apologized.
Oh.
Because I wasn't ready. I hadn't even scoped out another job. And I should have just.
Yeah. Said, it was a reflex.
It felt good, right?
Yeah.
Felt good at the time. Yeah. Until I had to suck it all up and drink all that vomit right back down.
Yeah. Did she give you the check back or she cash it?
She gave it back to me.
Okay, you know, that would have been a dick move. Oh, you can come back. I'm taking his bonus back. And he also gave her too much because it was taxed, I imagine.
You're right. I mean, I was just so like, meh. Don't ever do that. Don't ever like be upset and then listen to Regular People by Pantera because it'll just make you, ah.
No. I took that Jelly of the Month coupon and stormed in there and slammed it on her desk.
Jeff, do you ever get fired?
I've been laid off a bunch of times, not like fired really,
but never fired for cause or something.
Yeah,
I got fired once.
You did? Where were you working?
I was working at a I don't even know if they're around anymore. It was in a structured wiring company. They did like home theaters back in around 2000.
Yeah, when home theaters were
those. Yeah, we did like Chris Tucker's house. And a bunch of football players, a lot of high end work in Atlanta, in high rises and stuff in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And Chris Tucker also fired you? It was also a security company.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? You're fired. No,
there's a whole, we did a whole theater for him for his mother's house. And he is not
a
funny guy. He does very much so. And he is not like any of his characters and does not like you to think that he is like any of his characters. He doesn't like the lines or anything. No. That was kind of one of those never meet your hero kind of instances. But you know, so it was a security company, and when I was out doing runs, and you know, it's one of those where somebody has a door that won't close or the switch won't, you know, connect. And it was one of those things where I didn't have the part on me to fix it, and I could have it Monday morning. And that's what I was going to do. And so it was a place that you couldn't easily get into, very one of those little small windows that no one has ever touched except the last time I was there 6 months before touching it. Mm-hmm. So I bypassed the wire. I just ran it straight so that it would clear the board out. And then I was going to come back and put the switch in. And of course the guy went down after I left and was like, "Hey, I could open this window." And so they were like, "Meh, you're it's a liability. Sorry." It was one of those things where it was like, there was no second chances. There was no, "Hey, you know, maybe you'll do better next time." It was just a bad mistake on my part. You know, I should have, you know, went across town and spent an extra 3 hours and got that switch done. But, you know, I was 20 years old, 21 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't care nothing about nobody's security.
Nobody goes back. The dude, yeah. I mean, he looked like a guy that would, you know, it would probably be a blessing if I left something unsecure so that the person in the hole could get out when I left. but yeah. So that was my only time getting fired. But I do those bad things.
That's crazy.
I do those bad things where I stay in jobs a lot longer than I should. Like one of those things where you get really good at your thing and then they're like, "Okay, let's kind of stick you over here," and you get comfortable. And then you look down at your watch and it's been 10 years.
Yeah, get out. All right. So the number one movie about people getting fired and on this list from 2016 is Office Space with the Bobs, of course. And that movie, one of the most quotable movies, came out in 1999. Can you believe it was that long ago? Was it 99 or was it sooner?
It was sooner.
No.
Facebook violation of community standards today for quoting Office Space.
You did?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Rodney Ho is cleaning out his desk. The AJC is moving buildings.
Yeah.
And so he shows his desk. He says, "I'm going to miss this desk. I've been here for 20 years or whatever." And he shows his empty desk and all that's left on the desk is just a stapler. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Hey, can I have your old stapler?" And he said, "Yeah, you might not like it. It's not red." And I posted a picture of Milton, mm-hmm. and said, I'm gonna burn down that building." Boom! Facebook community standards violation.
Yeah.
Did he report it or something? Or
no, their algorithm got it.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, oh, I get.
Told you. I told Jeff one time in a comment, "I'll kill you," and they reported me.
Okay. Yeah, they're taking people down for just using. Now the most common one is like, you know, I help run a Kevin Smith. I'm an admin for a Kevin Smith group. You know, we've got like 37,000 members. And so somebody yesterday, and somebody posted, "Hey, what's your favorite Kevin Smith line?" And that was the post. All of a sudden, you know, all of these just, you know, all of his lines, you know, all of them are just just cutting people down. They're just, you know, chirps and chops. And so all of a sudden I started getting like 50 community standard pulls. And all these people are getting like, you know, they're getting put on hold for 30 days because they quoted a Kevin Smith line from 1996.
So they're quick to do that. But you report a post that somebody posts personal information about somebody and they take forever to review it. I don't understand that.
What's the amount of people versus the amount of algorithms they got running? They got more computers running monitoring than they have people.
Right.
Yeah. And so those algorithms will pick up everything. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's so bad that now if you get so many, they'll kill the group. And, you know, we're just waiting at this point. Some kind of self-suicide with Facebook.
Ridiculous. Stupid. Fuck you.
Put that baby on the mic.
Well, hang on a second. The two Bobs are Bob Slidell and Bob Porter. Bob Slidell is played by John C. McGinley. And Paul Wilson plays Bob Porter. Paul Wilson, also a veteran of the Cheers television program. But I have to agree that that's probably the best movie about late 90s, early 2000s corporate lifestyle. It's such a funny movie. And if you've never seen Office Space, go rent it. And if you have, watch it again. Watch it again.
You didn't mention something about Mary.
Something about Mary. What happens in that? I forget.
You know, when he's in the car and
Ben
Stiller questions him about the 8 minute abs.
8 minutes? Well, no, 6 minutes. Step into my office. Why? Because you're fucking fired. Not even a mouse on a wheel. I forget that. Yeah, you remember that old song from the sea? Watch that again. I love that movie. Harlan Williams, by the way, has a very entertaining Instagram feed. He's been staying at his place in Texas, and he's always showing construction equipment.
What is he doing now? Is he doing anything?
I imagine he's waiting to do stand up again, but he just, oh, there's old Bessie. Oh, look at her bucket. Oh, she's a good digger.
Okay. I think he's got a podcast too, and maybe he
does.
Maybe,
I would listen to that.
Maybe he does. Maybe it's on Sirius or one of those.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Hey guys, we're gonna blah, 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 blah. Don't forget next Sunday, May 16th from 2 to 5 p.m. We will be at Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, Georgia. Izzy won't be there. Just me.
Oh, you bring the Izzy chicken.
Where's your baby? AP&G will have a bunch of pizza stations with different options for everybody. You'll have your plain, you'll have your, you know, pepperoni, you'll have some with just vegetables, maybe a little Reuben pizza for Mr. Tim, and Cubans, all sorts of wonderful things. Kim's creation, Kim Hall, who's Mike Hall's wife, she has the Cuban style pizza. I may try that. And guess what? They're going to have easy on food service gloves. Everything will be COVID friendly. You can wear your mask. No one's going to shame you. I'm probably going to wear mine because I follow the science. And there'll also be Greek salads and sodas will be free, soft drinks free, water free. They will also have alcoholic beverages for you to order and pay for. And guess what? Now, aside from the alcohol, I mean, you have to pay. It's not open bar. But if you want to come and eat, it's $8 for an adult, $5 for a kid. And you don't have to eat. And if you don't want to eat, you don't have to pay, but you can still come and hang out with us. And I do believe we have a good group of people we haven't seen in a long time. And I really look forward to it. Now, at the end of the night, we will be passing around a bucket. And you'll cough up a bucket, cheap bastard, because we got to take care of the people Mike's bringing out to do the work for us that day, you know, to serve us and to cook and make all the food. And like Jeff said, if you want to make a dessert, Izzy, stop licking the floor. If you want to make a dessert and bring it with you and share it with people, you're encouraged to do that. Or, you know, you could stop at a donut place. Speaking of donut places, I'm going to be speaking with the owners of Donut Dolly's. They have a third location opening up. See, people want good donuts. Are you paying attention, Dunkin' Donuts? Dunkin' Donuts with your frozen shit flown in from fucking wherever that they
it's
make.
It's not even Dunkin' Donuts anymore. It's Dunkin'.
Yeah, it's just Dunkin'. Yeah. When they fly in your horrible fucking food and your goddamn awful hash browns and your fake meat and all your awful donuts that suck now and your coffee isn't as good as it used to be. You know what? That gives room for places like Donut Dolly's to pop up and say, hey, look, we make good donuts. I had a cinnamon crunch one the other day. Oh, my God. It was tasty.
Did it have shrimp tails in it?
No, it didn't have shrimp tails in it. Yes. But I would have liked that anyway. It's still better than a Dunkin' Donut. Anyhow, so Atlanta Pizza in Euro, Sunday, May 16th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. And thank you very much, Mike, for doing this for us.
I found some old stickers, too. So I give those away along with the Fuxi stickers.
Fuxi's cool sticker with the pizza on it. This is Eat Me. We're going to have the Blockbuster stickers, and we'll get all the ones with Autumn on them and just leave them on the floor.
I got a couple with Autumn on them.
We have a bunch of posters and pins and stuff. I'm just kidding.
Well, and Mike posted a picture today of our little get-together from last year whenever it was Eric Malmstrom's birthday.
Yeah.
So it was the last time we got together. And Eric Malmstrom won our Barkville Dog Rescue contest. He won like $3,000.
Nice. Yeah.
Toss me a footstool or something, Eric.
Yeah. So that's it. We're gonna play. I'll play the little commercial that we play here, where I got to re-record eventually, and then we'll come back and we'll talk real quick about what we watched and stat picks and whatnot. Okay. All right. Now I'm gonna thank our sponsors. We have two sponsors. They've been with us for a long time. And they stuck with us throughout the first year of the COVID pandemic. We don't know how long it's going to last this year. So let's just say the first year. And we hope that it won't go on much longer than that. But anyhow, I want to thank Mike Hall and Atlanta Pizza and Euro. Serving Conyers in the East Metro Atlanta area since 1983. Mike Hall and his staff truly appreciate your business. And thank you for your continued support during the year that never happened, or we wish never happened. When's the last time you guys were out there?
We all went out there when they opened. Yeah.
Well, I've been out since then a couple times. Mm-hmm. But didn't we recently have a listener show up there?
Yeah, Tim. Tim went out there.
Yeah, Tim Allen. He goes out there weekly. Oh, okay. I think he eats lunch a couple times a week out there. Okay. He's a great radio.
if you go out there, and I noticed that some people do this, if you go to Atlanta Pizza and Euro, post on our social media, either in the Radio Shack or on our Facebook page. Let us know that you were there, and we'll give you a shout out for in both of our sponsors.
Get their Greek salad. They make their own dressing, and it is out of this world.
And cannoli. Get the cannoli.
Get the cannoli, yeah.
But leave the gun at home. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is open for dine-in services, or if you prefer, you can give them a call and place your own takeout order. You can also order online for pickup or delivery through their website at atlantapizzaeuro.com. And I've made a decision when it comes to this kind of thing. If I'm going to order something and the restaurant doesn't deliver, I'm going to go pick it up because I'm sick of Uber and their Uber Eats or any of those things. They take their middleman cut, then you got to tip the driver, which I don't mind doing that at all. But a lot of times they screw your order up and then you're left with nothing. And plus, restaurants kind of get fucked by those apps. So if you can, do whatever you can to just go pick it up. That's what I'm going to do. Visit them on Facebook or leave them a positive review on Google, as it helps their business continue to grow. And our other sponsor, I would be remiss to leave him out, and that would be Brett Perkins and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2000. Let me scroll this up so I don't say it wrong. 2005. I didn't want to give them 2 extra years. With fast turnaround and affordable prices. If you're in the market for something that he has to offer you, call 706-316-9366 or email at athens@ldiline.com.
And I know Brett personally. He's a hell of a guy. And he has great taste in movies and comedy. And yeah, you should totally do business with him if you're building some shit.
Hell yeah. Call, goddammit.
He should come on the show sometime. Tell us about
he should.
Backpacks and shit, and tell us about his business.
Yeah. All right, we'll do that. Hey, if you're out there and you'd like to be a sponsor of Radio Labyrinth, just hit me up. We'll figure it out. All right?
And we're back.
Thank you, Jeff. That's right. We are back. And thank you to our sponsors. We also have a brand new Radio Labyrinth Patreon member who came in at the sponsor level. And I want to know what we can do for Kyle to make him happy. I want to read, if he just wants to read copy about a fake business, I want to do that for you, Kyle. So if you're listening, please let us know. Yeah. Not that Kyle.
Hey, Kyle, I'm going home.
So Kyle, we appreciate it. We love that you signed up and we want to make sure that you, oh yeah, I still got to get Kyle a t-shirt.
That's gonna be the first way to lose him.
He didn't say what kind of shirt he wanted in his email, so now I'm gonna email him back. But anyway, thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle.
I'll go first since I probably watched the least amount of things. Let's see, I watched you guys got me into watching the WWE on A&E documentary. So I started with the one that was last week, which was Macho Man Randy Savage. I was like tearing up at the end.
Yeah, just, sad.
Yeah. And just how much I liked him and how much I did not know. And then the people who were doing the documentary are all really good. Even Hogan, who just said, sorry, yeah, he was crazy. Blah, 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 his weird face. And God, Lex Luger, Jeff, you were not kidding. He is a scrawny.
He had a spinal injury. I think he's paralyzed. That's why he's so small now.
Yeah, I met him after that. I mean, Jake the Snake brought him onto the Regular Guy show. And we got to meet him that way. And or it might have been Roddy Piper, one of the two. But I met him as well. But yeah, the documentary says, okay, I'm going to watch another one. So I watched the Roddy Piper one, which was almost as sad, if not more sad. You know what I mean?
I didn't think it was as sad, but it was still sad.
Yeah, because I didn't know. I'd never seen that. Was it Rich Eisen on ESPN? Yeah. The Rich Eisen show where he can't think and
had a stroke or whatever.
Yeah, and that was just so horrible because then I start thinking that's going to happen to me because now that I'm 50, that's all I think about. But anyway, it doesn't matter what I think. It's just
those guys like were juicing so hard, and it's sad that they died so young. But
yeah, drugs, alcohol, you know, steroids, and plus all physical abuse and concussions.
They lived hard lives.
Yeah, but you felt bad for his wife because his wife was such a sweetheart.
Yeah,
you know, from the documentary and his kids, and then watched Booker T, and that one was great too. That one was more uplifting. You know, he starts from nothing and he just makes himself into what he is. He and his brother. And I had no idea that that Ivan Putski, the Polish Hammer, if you watched wrestling in the 70s and early 80s, Ivan Putski, he had the Polish Hammer. You guys remember him?
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, he opened a school wherever, whatever town that Booker T and his brother were in. And they paid, I think, $4,000. And then they joined his TV outlet. And he just had a great career, man. And I always liked Booker T. I thought he was funny, especially since he and his brother were one of those bridge acts, you know, because prior to them, all the African-American guys in wrestling were all stereotypes, you know, like, you know, Coco Beware, the Caribbean with the stupid parrot. And they all look dumb. You know what I mean?
I like Coco Beware.
I liked him, too. But I'm telling you, though, they've been like Junkyard Dog. He's an animal with a cage. He's a beast. I like those guys, but those were all horrible stereotypes. And then you have these two guys who just come out and say, nah, we have a gimmick, but we're, you know, because they weren't from Harlem, but Harlem Heat, I believe they were called, but they didn't have to resort to a lot of stupid gimmicks. And I think without Booker T, you know, after him, a lot of African-American wrestlers were just themselves and they didn't have to do stupid. Hey, look at me. I'm a pimp. And that's the way it was. Even anybody that wasn't white, but even the white guys, they did, you know, a lot of that stuff with, but you know, like I'm thinking of like Tito Santana and, or Mr. Fuji. Oh, Mr. Fuji. Oh.
Yeah. Mr. Fuji.
Well, I mean, let's see, for the white people, I guess Hillbilly Jim.
Yeah. Yeah.
George, the Animal Steel.
I mean, I guess they all did, but they really, I mean, it really stands out when you only have 10% of, if that, not even that high, of your crew wrestling is minorities and they have to play some stupid minority stereotype. That I don't know that it really exists that way anymore. I think it's more, you know, they're just tough dudes who can wrestle. I know Ron Simmons wasn't a stereotype either, and he was a kick-ass dude. I loved him.
They didn't ever have one that was like a sharecropper or anything. It wasn't that bad.
No, they didn't know they do that.
A&E is doing a kick-ass job with these.
Yeah, they are.
Wrestling documentaries, though.
And it's really bringing me back in. Now I want to watch old and stuff and to hear those old voices, like to hear Jesse Ventura doing a match instead of talking about, you know, chemtrails. I love Jesse talking about wrestling instead of talking about those are all body bags for when the UN takes over the United States. Those are all, they're going to bury everybody in a pit, Alex Jones. That's why I moved to Mexico. No, I liked him better as a wrestling guy. And you hear,
I like my Jesse with a gym in his chin.
Yeah.
I like Running Man era.
Yeah.
Cool. Jesse, not, you know, the aliens came down here. Steel beams, jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams, Vince. Okay. Thanks, Jesse. So then I watched the first part of the Brian Pillman, and I said last week, I didn't remember who he was, but when I watched that, I totally remembered who he was and how he did that, the goofy tag team with Steve Austin before he was Stone Cold. But you can kind of see how Stone Cold Steve Austin, when he came to WWE, kind of took that personality a little bit, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Took that Brian Pillman personality, but I didn't know anything about this guy that he was a football player and he played for the Bengals or the Browns or what's the Bengals. Just he had talk about his crazy women. Did you guys watch that one on
Dark Side of the Ring or whatever?
Twice, yeah.
I haven't got to watch it yet because I guess I'm gonna have to bump my Hulu package up to the non-commercial Hulu in order for me to watch it.
Well, that's where I am wrestling wise. I just watch a lot of wrestling. And then I since I've been reading all those Stephen King books or listening to the Dark Tower series, Wolves of the Kala and Song of Susanna both have a character from Salem's Lot. And that's Per Callahan, the priest from Salem's Lot, who I said, well, you know, I watched that movie in 1979 when it was on television, David Soul and Bonnie Bedelia and, President Adar from the original Battlestar Galactica. I can't remember his name right now. But you recognize a lot of people in there. Father Callahan has like two scenes in the movie and he's not a big character. So now I guess I'm going to have to read the book again. Because I know that Father Callahan plays a huge part in the Salem's Lot book, but very little in the movie.
There's a little more of him in the Rob Lowe remake. But
yeah, I would imagine. Not much. So. But this, this 79 one. Okay, let me just say that this was a 4-hour, two-night miniseries. And, you know, without commercials, it was 3 hours and, you know, 25 minutes or whatever. But so much of that could have been edited because it's just a lot of James Mason. And he's walking around opening the antique store for Master Barlow, who, by the way, is in Europe. He's in Europe shopping for antiques. And he just picks up a thing and he looks at it and puts it back down. And then you hear the dramatic music and he walks over and picks up another item and he puts it back down. There's so much of that and it's so slow. But the scenes that were scarier when those two boys get attacked and turn into vampires, and they go to that one kid, the James at 15 kid, who quit acting, became a born-again Christian. You know what I'm talking about? The kid from that movie. Mm-hmm. And they're, "Daddy, come out and play with us." They're scratching on the window. I couldn't sleep for a week after.
Who are you telling? I mean, I've just now started looking out my windows.
Yeah. But do you remember that, right? That
Yeah, at nighttime, especially though at nighttime, I would never open a curtain and look outside.
No shit,
never.
That kid will be out there.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's that burned in my mind at that. And that was what year was that? 79?
79. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like 4 years old. That was like one of the first things that really scared the hell out of me. I remember for so long.
That I mean, I was old enough to know that it was fake, but damn, 1970, you heard a tree branch hit the side of the trailer we lived in Amazon, because we lived in a trailer, and sometimes the trees would scratch against the metal siding. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Oh, it scared me. I do have a staff pick. So anyway, it was very good to watch for nostalgia's sake, but especially since James Mason is in it and he plays the familiar. the scene where they kill him, they shoot him, David Soul shoots him 9 times and he still doesn't die, so David Soul picks up a guitar and starts playing that song that
from Starsky and Hutch.
Well, it is in the movie. They let him record a song in the 70s and it became a big hit. And what was it, Jeff? Why can't I think of it? Do you remember, Jeff?
No, I can't think of it.
I'm picturing him right now in his blonde hair, shadowing.
David Soul song.
Don't give up on us.
Don't give up on us, baby. Yeah. That's what killed James. Oh, stop singing that awful song. Oh. Next thing you know, I'll have to watch Emergency. Don't give up on us, baby. I like how they wedged that into the movie with Ben Stiller and was it Owen Wilson?
Yeah.
He's a terrible singer. Anyway, so my staff pick is Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast that dropped today, Monday, with Jeff Altman, who I loved Jeff Altman.
Yeah, he was great.
And I think I'm the only person who actually looked forward to and was saddened by the canceling of Pink Lady and Jeff, which is this all around voted probably the stupidest, most ridiculous television show ever made. Variety show hosted by Jeff Altman and two Japanese women who were popular in Japan but couldn't speak English.
Produced by Sid and Marty Croft.
That's right. And always had Shields and Yarnell on it. And if you don't know who Shields and Yarnell are, you need to Google them, because they were mimes and people thought they were great and they were popular and they were on every variety show in the 70s.
God. And you could literally do anything in the 70s and be on television.
Right. You could. You could have two Japanese ladies. But NBC at that time had a lot of weird ass shows on that all failed, but I loved them. Like Mr. Smith, you know, the talking orangutan and orangutan or whatever. I don't know how to say it. But I liked Hello, Larry, because I liked McLean Stevenson and it was a spinoff of Different Strokes. That failed. Everything I liked back then failed. But what are you going to do about it? Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, Jeff Altman. Yeah, he was what, Huey Hogg, his son, Boss Hogg's son on Dukes of Hazzard.
That's right. Oh, who else? He was also in Easy Money. Hey, you need a little, hey, it's my daughter. She's 12. Yeah, well, you already got a supplier. That was the line. I got a supplier. All right. So that's mine. Whoever wants to go next May.
Let's see. I watched The Nevers. Are you guys up on that one?
Yeah, I'm up on that
one. I love it.
Last night.
I'm just slow.
It's good. There's a cool ending to the new one. It kind of throws another aspect.
Yeah. What?
Is it one more left?
Yeah. One more after last night.
So there's seven.
Six.
Six. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I only have two more to watch.
So it's really good. it'll definitely, I think, end with like a beginning, you know, to something, you know, new for the next season, changing, you know, a lot of things. So definitely going to keep that. And we'll wrap that one up when everybody, you know, gets a chance to see all of it.
I'll get caught up this week.
Debris. I'm watching NBC or Hulu. It's this last episode, or actually it was two episodes, was one of those X-Files time loop episodes where everything changes every, you know, 10 minutes when, you know, they do something. And it's funny how much this is a real becoming an amalgam of the original was X-Files and the show that it originally came from. What was it? I'm sorry. Losing technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties.
Sorry.
My computer about my life. Please stand by.
But it's let's see, it's really good. As I mean, it's getting better. We'll see if it actually pans out or not, because they spent two episodes doing this one gimmick that they could have pulled off with one episode.
Right.
So I'm hoping that's not going to be the main you know, changer for the show, but we'll see. Jupiter's Legacy on Netflix. Jeff kind of turned me on to this one. I made it through one episode.
I watched all six, man.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah.
Does it get better?
Yeah, I thought it was great. So they take the origin story and they intertwine it. Like normally when you watch a superhero movie, like the first episode's all the origin story. But this, they intertwine the origin story with the modern day goings on through the entire series. So you don't see how they became superheroes until the last episode, because they've intertwined with like time flashes, like flashbacks.
Yeah. And that's going to be, I assume that's going to be also kind of change your opinion of them as to how they became who they are.
Right.
It seemed very similar to a lot of superhero stuff that's coming out lately, you know, kind of Invincible kind of had some little, you know, touches of it there. Right. Also The Watchmen. Just kind of that story of like an alt.
I don't know that I could get into another show about heroes. I just don't.
That was kind of my reason for not going past one. It was like I felt kind of burnt out on the whole topic, mm-hmm. you know, at this point. But
the way they did it, though, it was so well done. And like the flashback scenes are like Boardwalk Empire kind of days.
Okay.
So it's fun. I enjoyed the origin story more than the modern day story.
Well, the makeup too is a little ridiculous. They've got
the age makeup on.
Yeah, they've got they've got them looking like they're like 80 years old through like most of it. So you're and then they do the flashbacks and they look fine. Right. So it's kind of jarring. It kind of takes you out of it, or it did me. But yeah. I'll continue watching it and see how it goes. Well, I saw that Tim had watched a lot like same time. Flipping through, so I was like, I haven't seen Carrie in forever. I couldn't remember the last time I'd watched Carrie, so I rewatched Carrie. John Travolta was a real piece of shit. I forgot how much he was. Like he was beating up on the. He was like, he hit her at least five times in the first 30 minutes.
She liked it, and she deserved it.
Yeah.
Who had it coming?
Why you always got dripping blood on me?
And then, okay, this is one thing that I did pick up on this time watching it. When they're in the car, John Travolta and his date, and they're going to go, I guess, get the blood, or they're sitting in the car talking, and she starts to go down on him. And she starts saying his name over and over again. Mm-hmm. But she's going down on him. Well. How could she say his name if her mouth's full? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Maybe I got watching the whole penis.
I just got it in my jaw over here on this side.
She's talking about it. You know, you can talk with chew in your mouth.
But that just really that kind of really caught me off guard. I was like, how is she calling him by his name? And her head's like,
she's just
really
that good.
Yeah, I guess it's like a ventriloquist. She like talk through her nose.
DJ Souls, is that his girlfriend?
No, it was the other one. Yeah, that's another thing. Is PJ Souls always wear a hat in like everything she's in?
Well, but not a bra.
She would never wear a bra, but she always wore a really off-sized baseball cap on her head.
Was it Nancy Allen, the chick from RoboCop?
Yeah, it was Nancy Allen.
Yeah.
All right. What a cast this movie has. I'm looking at Sissy
Spacek. William Catt.
Oh, and Spacek. And Spacek was beautiful. I mean, she was so beautiful as Carrie. I mean, in her prom dress and everything. The look of it was really good. I mean, the movie was well done. It's just, I couldn't get over like the people. I mean, just the fierceness of the people, which shouldn't surprise me seeing that it comes from King. And that's what he's good at is.
I thought her mom was hot.
Piper Laurie. You go watch that movie she did with the Hustler. Watch the Hustler with Paul Newman. Oh,
and there's some really cool theories out there too, Tim, about the mom from Carrie and the lady in Tull in the Dark Tower.
Wait, you mean
the preacher lady that comes after him?
The preacher lady, and wait, the preacher lady in what?
In the first book, in The Gunslinger.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That they were twinners.
That might be the case.
Yeah. Really? All right. And also coming out this Friday, Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix, animated anthology series. I expect great things from it if the previous ones have been any indication. So, that's Friday the 14th.
All right.
Season one was so good. I'm looking forward to season two.
Yeah, I've rewatched it so many times.
All right, I'll bust through mine real quick. I watched all of Shrill. I was very disappointed. I thought it ended very dumbly. And That Damn Michael Che, that is a funny show.
I watched the first one. Did you see Matt Richards on there? The host of AQ?
Yeah.
It was Smokey Robinson on the first one. Maybe on more. Right? I only watched the first one so far.
He's got most of the characters you saw in the first one. He uses them throughout.
Oh, okay.
But he does a really good job. It's not Chappelle level the way that he is, breaking down race and society and all that kind of stuff. But it is very funny and it's well done and it's kind of deep. But I liked it a lot. His supporting characters are amazing. So definitely check out That Damn Michael Che. It's a good show. The Nevers, Handmaid's Tale. Talk about a blowjob.
Yeah, no doubt.
That'll keep you in there.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to ride all that way in an empty tanker that you dumped out yourself, and you get to the place you want to go to, and it's, hey, why don't you blow me?
Right.
Scowly McScowl face. She just.
I can't do it. I can't. I mean, I'm.
Yeah. And an old one-eyed wonder comes in there. I'll suck you.
Jean was so proud of herself.
I named the pig. Nuts.
Oh, God bless it. But I'm looking forward to seeing what happens now that they're with the whatever quasi-rebellion. The Bad Batch, I watched the first two episodes of that. That is a good show.
Yeah, it's fun.
I was disappointed when I found out it was taking place before, it's before A New Hope. I mean, come on.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not even looking at that at all. Just watch the show, Tim.
I can't because I'm just like, come on. I want to see what happened. They're not doing anything after Empire or Return of the Jedi because they're probably going to retcon the three sequels. Anyway, sorry.
Well, whatever. It's a good show. And then I'm Chappelle on Rogan. I'm about an hour and a half into it. My God, it's 3 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, so far it's a really good interview. And Chappelle doesn't do that many interviews and to get him for, 3 hours.
Yeah.
And they, they've known each other forever. They've been doing comedy together since they were both very young. So they've been touring
together for the last couple of years, too.
Right.
We can get off of fucking Spotify. I hate it on Spotify. I loved it when I could just go to YouTube, open it up and watch it. Now use the shitty video platform on Spotify.
Well, and you have to listen to all those commercials. It's not like you can skip through them. I mean, you have to listen to them.
You can't skip through them on Spotify?
Not on Joe's show.
Even if you pay the premium?
If you're premium, they don't show up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I have Spotify premium.
I have it too.
You can't have to skip and then it's another commercial. But anyway, and my staff pick is Halston.
Mm-hmm.
This Friday on Netflix, and it's the story of the designer Halston. Ewan McGregor plays him, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a Ryan Murphy deal. So there'll be a lot of sex, drugs, and rock and roll as usual. I think there's a, you know, there'll be some cool shit. So
I want to see who's playing Andy Warhol in this one.
Oh, I don't know.
It's always somebody interesting that does, you know, their take on Andy Warhol. It's always a grab bag.
My favorite so far has been Crispin Glover.
Yeah. Crispin Glover, oh, definitely.
He was in The Doors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about all the shit I watched already, except I'm probably the only one that watched Elon Musk on Saturday Night Live.
How was it?
He was a weird dude. But it was funny. I enjoyed it.
He tanked Dogecoin, fucker.
Yeah. He said Dogecoin was a scam.
Yeah. No, he said it was a hustle. He didn't
a
say
hustle,
it.
Yeah.
It's a hustle.
He's a weird dude, but I thought he did pretty well for not being a comedy person or even an actor. I thought he did well in the sketches, even though he moves his head weird, but maybe that's just the Asperger's. I don't know.
Yeah, he came out and said that too, which was, I guess he'd never said that before publicly.
Well, then I read an article today that said he was lying about it, but how would they know? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Looking at him, there's something going on. Yeah. He's on the spectrum.
Yes.
For sure. And my stat pick is going to be Hacks. It's on HBO Max on the 13th.
It looks good. I want to see that.
Yeah. I think it does look good. Gene Smart plays a washed-up comedian.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's made by Mike Schur from The Office and some people from Broad City.
Yeah, this should be really, very funny. I think
it's going to be good.
I'll check that out. When does it start?
13th.
Right on. Oh, well, one thing I wanted to say, and also on the 13th, the Vice starts their football show, which is kind of loosely based off of their wrestling show. You know what I'm talking about? A Dark Side of the
Gridiron.
Yeah. So that looks cool. Check that out. All right. Well, before we wrap up, Steph, what's the latest with Parkville?
Oh, well, I just wanted to thank everybody who bought a ticket or helped or shared my post, anything like that. Parkville raised $33,000 with this raffle, and it helped tremendously. I mean, because we lost all of our fundraisers last year, which we normally have this big gala, and that's where we raise our money. So it was awesome that everybody did that. And of course, one of our OG listeners, Eric Malmstrom, was the winner. I couldn't believe it. I was so excited. And Eric's so sweet too. He told Roy, the guy who runs the Barkville thing, that he heard about it on my show and on the podcast that Stephanie's on or whatever. So Roy sent me a message. He goes, I just want to thank you so much. So anyway, it gave me all kinds of, like, you know, volunteer cred, even though I haven't been doing shit except for talking about it on here.
What do you mean you haven't done shit? You got David Portnoy to donate.
I haven't done anything in a minute. It's been a minute that I've done, like, physically fostered a dog or went to an event or done shit. So anyway, I was just very happy. Thank you guys for helping. I really appreciate it. And, you know, if you're in the market dog or marketer or whatever, go to barkvilledogrescue.org. And, you know, it's a great organization. We save the dogs that need help the most.
And if you're a douchebag millennial who adopted a dog during the pandemic thinking you were always going to be home and then now you don't want it anymore because you're back at work, fuck you.
Absolutely fuck you. And that's why all the shelters are full right now, because all you little dill holes were lonely and now you're not.
I shouldn't say millennials. Everybody did it. And
no, a lot of people did do it.
Yeah, a lot of people did it, and it's lame. And now that it's starting to make the local news and stuff, because Caitlin, my wife, told me about it. Did you know this? I said, yeah, Steph talks about it a lot. All these people adopted thinking they're going to be home all the time. And, you know, and then they leave and the dogs get the separation anxiety because they're back at work. Just don't be a douchebag. Take care of the dog you adopted.
Absolutely. I mean, mine's, I've got a dog now. She's 13. She's such a little bitch. All she'll do, she'll only eat, like, deli meat now. Like, that's it. And I have to, like...
Boar's head? If you can just go to Publix and get the generic, that's okay. But boar's head, she starts developing.
That's what I'm saying. She's such a little witch. But it's like, I'll do it. Here you go. She'll starve herself if she doesn't get, like, what she wants. So,
bastards. All right. Well, listen, don't shop, adopt. All right. Thank you, Steph. Thank you, Dustin. Thank you, Jeff. And we will talk to you guys. When will we talk to you?
Thursday.
Thursday. Well, I'll talk to you guys Thursday, but you'll all that Saturday morning. You'll be out again, but this Saturday. Okay, guys, take it easy. Have a great night and keep it canon. And also canine. Hey, we want to thank our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers. Those are the people who come in at the $25 or above. If you don't do that, you know, of course, we mention you in the YouTube video. You see a thank you that Dustin's put together. But these are the people that have been with us the longest and have donated the most over the years, and we appreciate all your help. And we break them up with radio terms, starting off with the general managers. And those are the folks that have been with us 4 years or longer. We have Eric Malmstrom, who's been with us since October 2016. Wow. Keith Tate, also October 2016. In fact, I think these guys are the they may as well be the owners of the radio group, don't you think? Because they've been with us the longest. Oh, and throw Matt Carter in with that. He's been around since November 2016. And our most recent winner of Danger Zone, Chad Shepard, who's been around with us since October of 2017. I'm gonna send those No, he's not getting a shirt until we get the. No, I'm kidding. I don't want the red. I don't want the red box troll doll. I want him to have it. But now our program directors. Those are folks who come in at 2 to 3 years. We have Sean Hall from April of 2018. We have Mike D, August of 2018, and John Sutherland, December of 2018. And all three of those guys, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Well, then we got our DJ, Spin It Up the Hits, up to 2 years or less. Spin It Up the Hits, that's right. There we go. We got Tim Slayton, who's coming in at number 5 on the list, 2019. He's been around. We got Brian Smith, who I have been manually dropping his name in wherever in the podcast because we had to record the new one. But thank you, Brian Smith, and Chelsea as well. We have Chris Chandler. Not the quarterback for the Falcons, but a different Chris Chandler, since December of 2020. So thank you very much. Todd Ellis from January of 2020. So he's been with us a little over a year. Roby Neely, who's been with us, who's also a champion of, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to do a championship battle between the people who won Danger Zone. More on that later.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I think it'd be great. We have a tournament of champions, sure.
Yeah, and then eventually when we all die like Alex, they can take over the show. and a special shout-out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Buck coming in December of 2017 and Emily Warren coming in May of 2018. So thank you guys very much. And like we said, if you want to be a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews.